In this passage of Scripture is Jesus' last public warning to His church. It's in the context, again, of the days before the return of Christ. And here's what He says in verse 33. He says something here to remember in this last admonition and warning. He says, heaven and earth shall pass away. This goes along with our Sunday school lessons. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. So in these days we live in, we want to always relate everything to the Word of God. We want to remember that God's Word stands no matter what's going on around us. But I want us to look at this passage of Scripture and just think about these warnings that Jesus is given here. And in verse 34, there's one word that particularly stands out, and we'll get to it in a minute. But there's a note in the first place of solemn caution here. And when you hear what I'm about to say, I'm sure everybody will immediately relate to this and see this. A word of solemn caution when Jesus says, take heed to yourselves. Take heed. There's some caution there. Now, before I go any further, let's take note of who this caution is given to. Jesus says, take heed to yourself, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged. And He's not saying this to the Pharisees. He's not saying it to the Sadducees. He's not saying it to the Herodians of that day or to the common crowd. But what He's saying, keep this in mind throughout the message, what Jesus is saying here, He says, take heed to yourself, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged. He's saying that to His disciples, and particularly saying it to His apostles. And so who is He talking to? He's giving this warning about becoming overcharged. Let me stop right here, because some of you may kind of have an idea where I'm headed with this and what I'm talking about. When Jesus said, don't let yourselves be overcharged. Anybody here ever felt overcharged? Do you know enough about what I'm talking about? You've just felt overcharged. Okay, well, that's good. Well, I need to go a little farther. All right, Jesus is talking to His apostles. These are men who have cast out demons so far. They've performed miracles of healing so far. They've experienced great filling of the Holy Spirit. A lot of these things. But Jesus is warning them and those who will be are looking for the coming of Christ. He says, in the meantime, be careful that you don't let yourselves become overcharged. And if they needed that admonition and that solemn caution, being the kind of men they were and used like they were, how much do we need it today? So when he says this, we have to recognize that people in the Bible, like Noah, got overcharged. That's why things happened like they happened after the ark landed on Mount Ararat, that incident with his sons and so on and so forth. You see people like Lot and even Abraham and David becoming overcharged in life. You see it throughout the Scripture in 1 Corinthians 10 and 12. The Bible says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth. Because there might be somebody thinking right now, well, I'm kind of beginning to see what you're getting at here, what you mean by a person being overcharged. That won't happen to me. I'm not that kind of person. I'm as cool as a cucumber. I've got everything in control and so on and so forth. And I'm not the kind of person that would become overcharged. Well, the Bible says, and this is a good thing to remember all through life, be careful, Jesus said, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Don't become overconfident in anything like that. So here is a personal responsibility. He says, in our text, He says, take heed to yourselves. Nobody can do that for us. Nobody can do that for us. there's a lot of things in life that can overcharge us. We can become overcharged in life. That's why we have to do what Peter said in, and I'm talking about, I'll just have to get ahead a little bit. I'm talking about anxieties, panic attacks, worry, fear, all of these kind of things. It seems like the whole world is coming down upon you at times and you don't know what to do. And we're living in days. It's no wonder that Jesus applied this particularly in the context of his coming again and just before his coming, because there's more and more people like this. I'll say more about that in a minute. But Peter said, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober, be and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Here again, just before Jesus comes, is an admonition for those who are living in the times before his coming to really make sure that we have our minds girded up. In other words, stable mindedness and so forth. In Revelation 3 and 2, there's a caution. And to that church of Laodicea, which is a representative of the Latter-day Church, he said, be watchful, and strengthen the things that remain. So it's a personal responsibility to take heed to yourselves. And it's a pressing responsibility. He says, lest at any time. We have to take heed to ourselves and be thoughtful about it at all times. Because at any time, something could happen that would get us overcharged. And that takes me to the second point, and that is going from the solemn caution, take heed to yourselves. Well, what's he cautioning about? And here it is in verse 34. There's something sinister and something seductive about the conditions that he mentions here. He says, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time you be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life. This is a warning to Christians. It's a warning to Christians. So the thing is, Christians can be overcharged by these three things, this category of three things that's mentioned here. And let's just break those down just a little bit. When the Bible is speaking here about Jesus' warning about being overcharged, he talks about three things in that context in verse 34. He says you can be overcharged with surfeiting. That's one thing. And then he mentions drunkenness, and then he mentions the cares of this life. Now, when the Bible talks about surfeiting, it make you think about an abundance. Just you have an abundance of everything around you. So much stuff. We live in a world, especially in our society, of an abundance of stuff. People have always thought that this would be a blessing, a godsend. But we find out a lot of times the more stuff that people have, the more problems they have. So Jesus just warning about these very practical things. He says you can become overcharged with serving. When he mentions drunkenness, let me just tell you what that's talking about. That's not talking about getting in the bottle. That's talking about anything. It's talking about control. It's talking about letting anything get more control of us than God has control of us. And when he talks about the cares of this life, that's kind of a general statement, but in particular, it's talking about the pleasures of this life. The cares of this life. The pleasures of this life. Now, in Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse 49, and last week's, I forget where we were, but some of us were talking about this verse, where in Ezekiel 16 and 49, Ezekiel hearkens back to the days of Sodom and Gomorrah that was destroyed by fire and brimstone, and he names where their great sin, that became such a sinful, sinful place that God had to destroy it with fire out of heaven. But where did it all start? When did it really start to escalate, where it led to what it did? And this I mean, this just makes me think of our own country, our own society. What was the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah? What got them so headed out on a downward path at such an accelerated rate? Well, the Bible says in verse 49 of Ezekiel 16, says, the iniquity of Sodom, pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her. If that's not a threefold description of our society in America, I don't know what would be. Pride and a fullness of bread. I don't want to get too far into this, beloved. I don't want to be misunderstood. But when you look around at our society, and people are, it's obviously, I'm not trying to be funny, but full of bread. They live to eat. And so many people do. Everything revolves around about eating and drinking. And so this was a sin of Sodom. They got to where they, and they all go together because an abundance of idleness. They had way too much time on their hands, and we have a society like that. And the Bible talks about these three things. And where did all of this eventually lead? It led to the great, great sin of sodomy, which was so abominable. By that time, the society had become so abominable that God had to destroy it. Another warning to God's people is in Ephesians 3 and 17. Again, the church of Laodicea, representative of the church of the last days. And it says, because thou sayest, listen to what the attitude of the church in the last days would be. I am rich and increased with goods, and I have need of nothing. I have need of nothing. And that kind of describes much of church life today, where the church is, you know, spend like crazy. They have all kinds of stuff that they really have no need of, and it's all on display, and they feel like they don't really need anything. They don't even need God's Word. They don't need any admonition from the Word of God. And this is a very, very, very serious, serious thing. People get seduced by these things farther and farther into sin. In 2 Timothy 3 and in verse 4, the Bible says a characteristic of the last days is that people will become lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. So the first thing he talks about is the day's abundance, an abundance, an abundance, an abundance of everything. Then he talks about a second thing is involved here, and that is anxieties, the anxieties that he's warning against in the last days. And that's under this word surfeiting. I was reading somewhere not too long ago, and I was talking about, in fact, I've heard this on the radio in different places, but there have been more antidepressants sold just in the last 2 years than all the previous 10 years put together. I can believe that. There's more worry. There's an epidemic of people who are worried and depressed and have all kinds of anxieties and bipolar problems and panic attacks, as I mentioned, and so on and so forth. And people, well, listen carefully to this statement, being overcharged with these things means that people have more than they can bear. Now, right now, there might be somebody that a scripture's already come to your mind when I said, Christian people can have more than they can bear. And there might be somebody, there would be somebody somewhere if they heard that, that would say, no, wait a minute, preacher. Doesn't the Bible say that the Lord will not put on us any more than we can bear? And yet you said that Christians can have more on them than they can bear. There might be somebody who feels that way right now. And maybe you thought, but God said He wouldn't put more on us than we can bear. Now here's the difference. The difference is, here's the verse in 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. But that's talking about what God puts on us. That's talking about what God allows us to have put on us. It is not talking about what we bring on ourselves through worry and anxiety and fretting and fear and waking up every day and thinking about what the worst case scenario is that may happen. And if that's not enough, to go back into our past and bring things up out of our past and bring more and more and more and more on ourselves. And when we're bringing stuff on ourselves, it can become more than we can bear. God's talking about the things that He puts on us and He allows to be put on us, not things that we put on ourselves. So when you look at all of these things all of this business of being overcharged, people overcharge themselves. And here, you know, it's very, very simple. The word overcharge, just to make it real simple, is like taking a 6-volt battery and putting it on a 24-volt charger. What's going to happen? It's going to explode. It's going to blow up. There's going to be problems of one sort or another. Now, if that battery was charged at the right level, that'll strengthen it. That'll power it up. That'll make it better. But if there's more on it that's intended to be on it, if it's overcharged by our bringing things into our lives that we shouldn't, then that's not good. See, if this building here is built to uphold so much weight and so on and so forth, it's kind of like if you were building a two-story house, two-story building. And, I'll probably get myself in trouble here because I'm no carpenter or anything. But bear with me, you'll get the idea. And if I say some things wrong, get some numbers wrong. But you couldn't build a two-story building out of two-by-fours and expect it to hold up a second story, right? You'd want two-by-eights or something even bigger to be your support beams and all of that kind of thing, and have to have people that have to have enough to bear that weight, because too small is not going to hold the load. And here's what I'm getting. It's like my old pickup truck at home. It's just a quarter-ton truck. If I tried to haul a ton in it, what would happen to the truck? Somebody tell me. Bend the frame, wouldn't it? If I tried to put a ton or 2 ton in my little quarter-ton truck or whatever, it's the smallest you can get, it'd bend the frame. Now, here's the thing. Sometimes people bring more on themselves than they can bear, unnecessarily. The Bible says this, and the psalmist wrote this in Psalm 103, verse 14. He said, "For He knoweth our frame, and He remembereth that we are dust." In other words, our frame carries the load in life. Some have the capacity for a greater load than others do, but God knows what each of our capacity is, and that we can only hold and carry so much. And it's not supposed to be any more than God intends. So, sometimes people, I think sometimes Christian people need to think about all of the worry and the care and the stress. There's something to be said for just living day by day and let the trials of the day be enough for this day without bringing others in from the past or anticipated ones from the future. Because I've read it over and over again throughout my adult life that about 90-some% of the things people worry about never, ever happen. They never come to pass. There's these anxieties, he says, and the cares of this life. in Mark chapter 4 and in verse 19, "And the cares of this world," Jesus said, "and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choketh the word, and it becomes unfruitful." That's why so many people can go to church, and when they leave church, they haven't got enough, they haven't gotten any help. It's not always because the preaching or the teaching's been inadequate. A lot of the times, it's just because they've become so overcharged with the cares, with the ambitions, the aspirations, and the anxieties of everything else of life in this world. And compound that, and I mean the word compound. This is why a worldly Christian will have so much trouble. It chokes the word. Your source of nourishment is choked out. You can't get it because you've clogged yourself up with so much of this worldliness. Jesus said that all of these things, the deceitfulness of riches and everything, get ahead, get more, on and on and on, be accepted, be popular, everything. What I'm describing is how the unsaved world lives. When a Christian brings that on themselves, they choke the word. And therefore, they become unfruitful. They don't bring forth any fruit for the Lord and have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We have an example of that. One of the best examples is when Jesus went to the house of Mary and Martha, the sisters of Lazarus. Most of you are familiar with that story. Jesus went to their home. Mary saw an opportunity to get spiritual refreshment, to learn, a wonderful opportunity, and she seized upon it. And Mary sat at the feet of Jesus where she could take in all of the teaching she could that day when he was in the house. There were guests there. But on the other side of the house, in the rest of the house, was her sister Martha. And Martha was just, the Bible says, busy here and there. She was all over the place. Luke chapter 10. She's all over the place. She's cleaning. She's dusting. She's putting things, rearranging things. She's moving things here from here to there. She's doing all of this thing. She's checking the meal. Everything. Anybody able to relate with this? She's just going all over the place. Her sister's in there being quiet, taking the opportunity to get from God's Word. But in that story in Luke 10, there's three places. One's in verse 40, one's in verse 41, or two are in verse 41. Listen to this description of Martha's activity in Luke 10, verse 40. It says she was cumbered about. Cumbered about, all wrapped up in what she's doing in there with the housework, the cooking. And then in verse 41, it says she was troubled about. She's troubled about it. Oh, I wonder if this is just right. Is this okay? Is this going to work? And then in verse 41, it goes on and says about many things. She couldn't get enough on her plate. And so what happened? Here's what Jesus said about it. She wanted to get Mary. She couldn't understand why Mary wasn't on the same track she was. And she even went to Jesus, remember this? And she complained to Jesus. She said, "Don't you care that my sister isn't helping me? What, you want her to get in the same rat maze that you're in?" Jesus said, "She has chosen that good thing. You're cumbered about with many things, but she's chosen that good thing." In other words, she had her priorities straight. So she's here's a perfect example of somebody who the word is choked off to because of her cares about this world. That's not putting down good housekeeping. I'm all for good housekeeping. I always have been for good housekeeping. I've not been done very much at all to help in the area of good housekeeping, but I've always been for it. But so it's not against that, but it's about not becoming overly caught up with the things of this world. I mean, there's enough without get and there and Christians can get into this where they get out and they look for other things to do. And it's just wrong. Jesus is warning about getting caught into this, especially in the last days, in view of his soon and sudden coming. Now look what he says, and here's the thing. People, somehow the Holy Spirit of God needs to get a hold of some people's hearts and let them know that, impress this on them, Jesus is coming soon. And when he comes, it's going to be sudden. And it's going to be too late to quit being a Martha and start being a Mary. Amen? It's going to be too late to quit being like Demas, who was in love with the world, and start being like Epaphroditus or the Stephanus, who was sold out to just living his life for Jesus. Look at verse 34, the latter part of that verse. In our text, Jesus said, so that day, don't become overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this world. The devil's going to be doing everything he can to get something else out there to have more control over you than God has control over you. I mean, apparently there are people like that. The world's got more control over them than God does. Or they'd be in church on Sunday, for example. But he says this, here's the big warning, so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all of them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. It's just going to be like one of these trip snares that they stretch down from a limb and the prey gets in it. And it's not expecting it. It's walked that path. It's walked the same old path day after day after day after day after day. But one day, it steps in a snare that's been set. And the snare flies upward in the twinkling of an eye. And they weren't expecting it, but it was sudden. And that's the way the coming of the Lord will be. And His coming is preeminent. And Jesus said in Matthew 24, these days will be just like that. He said, in the days, such as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. But here's what we're to aspire to in these days we live in. Brethren, I'll tell you, we need revival. Like I said this morning, there's not a lot of time left in our country. I don't think any of us really, really realize what is right down the pike. It's not something to be afraid of. It's just something that maybe should be expected in a much more intense way than we do. But here's what we need to aspire to in these days. It's in verse 36, and I close with this verse. He said, watch you therefore and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Now, when we think about escaping all these things that come to pass, it's not just talking about us being raptured and not having to go through the tribulation. That's talking about escaping the snares and the cares and the surfeiting and the drunkenness and letting ourselves become overcharged with the things of this life. I think there's going to be a lot of Christians, thinking Christians, those that have become more and more spiritually minded, that are going to start simplifying their lives more and more and more, and God is going to have a greater priority, greater and greater than greater, than ever before in their lives. And the world is going to mean less and less and less. And friend, I'm telling you right now, you need to start cutting a lot of the world out of your life as much as you can. I was reading that verse. I'll make a confession to you. I was reading that verse there in Psalm 11 and 5. I quoted it in two parts this morning to explain the love of God for His people. Do you remember that verse? It says, God loveth the righteous, but He hateth them that love violence. And I'm just telling you what that made me think of. It made me think of... It made me think of... film and television shows and all of that.
I like to watch the old westerns once in a while. But you know what I've noticed that I never noticed before, even before I was saved watching them? I mean, they're pretty bloody. There's a lot of killing going on. There's a lot of mayhem going on. When I read that verse, I mean, say, is that the first time you ever read it? No, I read it hundreds and hundreds of times, no doubt. It says, God hateth them that love violence. So we don't even want to be like that. I'm talking about violence that just wants to hurt and hurt people for the fun of hurting them. That didn't have any much to do with the message, but I thought I'd say it deep in my own convictions. Let's all stand together.